We sung a song tonight, said, "Keep on the firing line." If you'll keep on the firing line, your cup is going to run out every now and again. I'm going to read some scripture. I don't know that I'm going to say anything, but I'm going to read you some scripture tonight. I appreciate what's already been said and done. And I know Bruce, mind of the Lord, I know tonight that the Lord asked him that question, but it's a good question. Amen. For us all. You might be one of them that don't think you cut and run over, but it very well can. I'm going to read you some scripture, and if you'll heed to some of this, your cup more than likely will run over. I'm going to, if you want to turn your Bibles, I'm going to read some out of Luke 20 chapter. I'm going to read some out of the book of Romans, the 6th chapter. I'm going to read some out of 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. I'm going to read some out of 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And I'm going to read some out of Colossians, the 3rd chapter. I'm as honest as I can be. That might be all I do tonight, and that'll be okay if it is. I'm going to start with a couple of verses that I didn't even mention. You can look them up later. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. You'll find that scripture in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. You turn to St. Luke, the 20th chapter, I believe it is. We're going to read a few verses. You just read with us. We're going to start with the 27th verse. It says, "Then came to him certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection, and they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die, having a wife, he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. There were therefore 7 brethren, and the first took a wife and died without children. The second took her to wife, and he died childless. The third took her, like manner the 7 also, and they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For 7 had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, The children of this world marry, and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels, and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he calleth the Lord God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. Romans, the 6th chapter. We're going to start with the 5th verse. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, to ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. You'd bear with us. We're going to start with the 23rd verse. I could read quite a bit of it. We'll try to limit it. Said, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. We're going to start with the first verse. It says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we could be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Now, Colossians, the 3rd chapter. I believe it is. Third chapter, Colossians. We're going to start with the first verse. If you have not seen yet, you ought to have seen the difference between the flesh and the spirit, or the outward man and the inward man. Who belongs to who? Now I find in these scriptures, and I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't know the order to say anything tonight, but I find in these scriptures, my friend, that we all have an opinion about what the scripture is talking about. We all do. And a lot of times we've got an opinion about what the body is and what the flesh is and who has control. The scripture's pretty plain that I've read unto you that we are not under the same law that we used to be. For we're not under the law, we're under grace. Now God operates, my friend, under grace. Does he not? Has he not? Since he sent his son into this world, my friend, and he paid the price, thank God, he paid the price for the heavenly kingdom to appear, to be in the midst. Brethren, it's through grace and mercy
that God looks at us through His Son. If you do not, my friend, deal with God except you go through the Son. That's the way it is. That's what He's sent Him for. Yes, sir. Now, He never has. Don't ask me where it's come from, what I'm doing. I'm going to leave just a little bit with you. Not a whole lot, but just a little bit. Brethren, this scripture that I've read unto you, it's been mostly in Paul's writing, but he told us plainly, brethren, in the book of Luke, that there's a difference in how people look today and how it is in the kingdom of heaven. They asked the question. They thought they had a good question. They thought they was going to put him on the block, just to be honest with you. They done this to trick him. They didn't understand. They didn't even believe in a resurrection. Absolutely. But he told them, he said, there's two different worlds, if you'll have it. There's two different worlds. Brethren, we come under the jurisdiction, thank God, of both of them. Preacher, I'm saved. It does not matter. Brethren, they are things that we are under naturally because we're still in the flesh. Yes, sir. But brethren, I'm going to be honest with you. I can't get over the fact, my friend, of the scripture that says greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world tonight. You have some control, thank God, of the outward man. Yes, you do. Preacher, not so. Yes, you do. I've read enough scripture to you, my friend, and he's divided the line. He showed the difference. If you're a part of Christ, thank God you're a member of His body. Is that not right? He's the head of the body. And the body is the church. He's the head of the church. Yes, sir. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. You might say, preacher, where did all this come from? Well, it come from several different places, just to be honest with you. But I had no clue. I sat down for a little while. I had a thought. I can't help it. As soon as I sat down, the Lord started giving me scripture. And you know what? It wasn't with my thought. That wasn't my thought. I kept looking, I kept reading. I thought, well, that ain't what I've thought on. That ain't what I was thinking about. I'm going to tell you something, Bruce. My friend, we'll come to them cups running over more often if we'll listen to Him. Yes, sir. If we'd just let Him guide us, we'd find out, thank God, there's a well of water springing up. Did He not say so? Spring it up. Thank God, and it just don't do it on Wednesdays and Sunday. Woo! No, sir. My cup runneth over. David could write that because he knowed what it was. I believe that. He knew what it was for His cup to run over. And brethren, He's just like the rest of us, except we're under grace. Thank God he wasn't under grace. He is under the law. Yes, sir. But I'm going to tell you something. God had mercy on him. God showed him some grace. Yes, sir. He showed him. He proved to him. Thank God. The law said somebody's going to die. Yes, sir. For the sins he committed. Is that not right? You wonder why he prayed for his son, my friend. He is praying that that son would live and that he would die. That's what he is praying. I believe it with all my heart. Stretched out, my friend. Hey, I believe he gave all. Thank God that he had to give to God, and God still brought the law into effect. He sure did. It took a death, and I believe that David felt that death just as sure as it was him. Listen, listen. Yeah, I ain't going to get into all that. There's a difference tonight. The Scripture teaches us there is a difference when you are born again tonight. You don't live the way you used to. No, you don't. You don't follow after the things that you used to. No, you don't. Brethren, there's something on the inside of you, thank God, that will correct you tonight. Yes, it will. You say, preacher, I'm stubborn and I go this way. That's where your troubles come from. Yes, sir. You might think tonight, well, preacher, you're just upset. I ain't upset. I ain't mad either. I appreciate what I've seen and heard here tonight. I mean that. I know. This book of Colossians, the third chapter, the first verse, you know what it says? It says, if ye then be risen with Christ. What the book of Romans say? That if you've tasted his death, you've also tasted his resurrection from the dead. Yes, sir. And you'll live, thank God, a righteous life. Folks, it ain't for the preacher man to keep you straight. Thank God it's that inward man that'll lead you and guide you in all truths of righteousness. Yes, sir. He'll lead you right. This book, I don't care who you are. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ. What did he say? Seek what? Those things that are above. That are above. These things, what did Paul say? My friend, I love this scripture. You hear me quote it quite a bit. I'm just going to hush. There's no need. This book's full. It is. It's full. I'm going to say this, my friend. Paul said that old things had passed away. And behold, all things have become new. That not what he said? I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's what the book teaches. Brethren, I don't have to judge you. Thank God, judge yourself. You got one in there. Ew. Yes, you do. Preacher, I can't keep myself. What'd Paul say? What did he say? I'm going to read it to you. I done read it, but I'm going to read it to you. You say, preacher, he's a preacher. You know, I hear that. I hear that. He's a preacher. Well, aren't you a Christian? Hadn't you been saved? Hadn't you been born again? Only thing different about a preacher is God called him to preach, if he's a preacher. I'm going to tell you something. If he don't study, thank God, meditate on the word of God, God will never use him. Amen. I said it. Thank God these people, my friends, sit around on the bench. Amen. God called them to preach. Listen, you say, preacher, you ought not get into that. I want you to know, you know exactly where your blessings come from. Don't you? I do. I know when my cup runs over. I know what it takes. You do too. Well, preacher, my cup ain't ever run over. That's the reason they preach to you. Yes, sir. I don't know if you got the message or not. The Lord asked him, when's the last time his cup run over? You know how I take that? I take that as, well, Randy, when's the last time your cup run over? That's how I take that, Robert. I believe the message, thank God, comes straight from God. It ought to stir up, thank God, your pure minds tonight. Yes, sir. Peter said he had stirred them up. He said, whereby I stir up you, my friend, your pure minds by way of remembrance. Glory to God. I'm glad I can remember. Thank God the last time my cup run over. Oh, Paul said, he said he run. He said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He said, I ain't just bopping my gums. He said, but I keep under my body. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You tell me who controls the outward man. If God didn't give us something greater that could overcome this enemy, thank God we'd be in bad shape. Yes, sir. We'd be in worse shape. We never would run over. Amen. I'm going to say it. I might as well say it. My friend, it's the reason a lot of folks don't even get nowhere near running over. Oh. Preacher, you ought to hold all this for Sunday morning. I got news for you. There'd be worms all over this. They would. There'd be worms all over this. It ain't you. It ain't you. This has nothing to do with the thought that I had. I wrote down them scriptures. Thank God I got to where I can't remember half what I get sometimes. But I wrote down them scriptures, my friend, tonight because God said to. Yes, sir. But I keep under my body and bring it in unto subjection. I keep under my body and I bring it unto subjection. Can I tell you something, my friend? you might have to go to the prayer closet. Yes, sir. You might have to go to the woods. It don't matter where it's at. You might have to find you a back room where there ain't nobody. You might have to go out in a building every now and again and hunt something. You know what I mean? I mean hunt something. Hunt, thank God, the everlasting water that springs up. See if it won't, thank God, run over one more time. Woo! Hallelujah! Paul, I'm going to say this. Paul ain't got nothing on us.
Who?
Paul was a man called of God. Is that not right? And brethren, he took his calling very serious. And he took his life very serious. I'm afraid more serious than we do. Speaking of myself. You hear me? You hear me? There's some verses in there. I might have read it and I don't know where I did or not. It said, take no thought what you'll put on, what you'll eat. Take no thought for the provisions. Huh? Does he not take care of the sparrow? Huh? How many sparrows are you worth today? Glory! And he'll take care of you tonight. Woo! 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 I can honestly say, you say, preacher, I don't like that kind of preaching. You know what? They ain't too many people that wants to examine themselves. Amen. I don't know about you, but I get down to pray. Thank God there's normally some examining going on. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I wished I could tell you, my friend, that I prayed every time I got down to pray, but that ain't happening. I can honestly tell you that. Sometimes I say a bunch of words. Sometimes, and most of the time, I start with something I know something about. Don't you? But you get down to business between you and him, see if that river don't start flowing. It'll do it. You bring this man under subjection, you say, preacher, it takes God. That's the whole message. It takes God. You can't do it on your own. But Paul did what? He brought his body. According to this, he brought it under subjection. He says, lest that by any means, when I have preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. I ain't going to get around to Colossians. This puts you close, folks. It puts you close. If ye then be risen with Christ, I can't help it. You go back to that sixth chapter of the book of Romans, you see, my friend, if it don't put you in the category with Christ, it'll do it. And it puts you where you're living, whether you have it or not. There's some things, my friend, about this scripture that I don't understand. There's some things that I can't grasp. I can't get a hold of. I listen to men when they talk, when they preach. I listen to them. I used to listen to J.O. Jarrett a lot of times in his preaching. And I'd sit in a pew and I'd just get to thinking, well, where'd they get that? And I had the opportunity. I can't help it. I had the opportunity. I believe God put me behind him in line more times than not. Yeah. I'm talking about going to the funeral home and get there. But he walked in and I walked right behind him. I couldn't tell you how many times. And then he'd get to talking to somebody about the scripture. He didn't know Randy was listening. If he did, it didn't make no difference. He was talking. He'd say some things, and I'd get to thinking, well, where'd he get that? How'd he figure all that out? I'm going to tell you something, folks. God's got a way of showing us things. And I'm just going to be honest with you. It don't bother me. I probably preached 7, 8, 9 years before I ever even read any in the book of Revelation. Seriously. People would get on the job and they'd get to talking and they'd some of them just got saved. And you know where they started them out at? They started them out in Revelation. They get to talking and get to asking questions, and I just tell them a lot of times, well, I don't know. I don't know. And yeah, I got it. You're a preacher. You ought to know. It don't come automatic. Does it, Crafton? It don't come automatic, Bruce. Does it? Brethren, you have to seek after this thing. You have to search after it. You have to act like you want to be a preacher. Amen. That's what it takes. Brethren, God see that desire. He'll absolutely fill your heart. And you don't know, you can't bring it up on your own. I know. I'll hush. You say, preacher? That scripture's for preachers. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Seek those things. Search those things. And I'm going to say this tonight without a shadow of a doubt. Brethren, if you've been born again, you have a man to keep in charge. In line. You got a man. You got a job, where you want it or not. You got a job. And I can say this, Paul said it. He said it was a continual warfare. And it is. Amen. I ain't finished with Colossians. Sad truth of it is, you might not understand this, but I understand it. Well, preacher, you can pick it back up and you can preach on it Sunday. Well, there's one way that I can do that. There's one way. I preached one Sunday morning here in this church a verse that I read unto you out of the book of Romans, I believe it was. 6th chapter, last verse. But the wages of sin is death. I preached on that verse on Sunday morning, right here in this church. We had church that night. We come back, and you know what I preached on? The gift of God is eternal life. I told them that night, Crabbin, you might have been here. I don't remember who all was here. Leroy was here. Steve was here. Several of you is probably here. But listen, I told them Sunday night, I said there's a lot of them didn't get the goody. Well, that old preacher just preaches against sin. That's all he knows. Huh? If they'd have come back Sunday night, Robert, their cup could have run over. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Same verse. So I'm going to tell you, if the rest of Colossians was to happen to come, then you might get it Sunday morning. But the truth of it is, I'm afraid it's gone. I'm afraid it's gone. Well, preacher, it wasn't no good. It's good to me. It's good to me. There's some things I have to eat. Do you know that? These men right here, you might not think much about it. When they get up, thank God, that feeds me. It really does. It feeds me. It gives me encouragement. You know, a fellow preacher man get up and he get to talking about some of the things that he's faced and some of the struggles that he's been in. I thought tonight, and I'll bring my remarks to a close. I thought tonight while we was praying, you don't think bad of him, but I was thinking while I was praying, and the Lord impressed me to pray for the situations in each person's life. You got different situations than I got. But I'm going to tell you something. He can fix yours. He can fix mine. He can. Thing of it is, he might not fix them like I want them. He might fix them in a different way, but listen, when he fixes it, it's fixed. You don't have to worry about it. He knows what he's doing. I thought, I seen a little footage on some of the houses that burnt over in California. That demolished, burnt. There's a lady there on the news. Her house was in the middle of all of them. Very middle. Now don't ask me how the Lord can send a tornado through and hit this house and miss one and that and another. Don't get into all that. I am one of them, believe it's your time. You leaving here. You leaving here. I heard on the news years ago that tornado went through when Dyersville went all up through Jasper and Ella J and what have you. And there's this family in Jasper that had got in the storm pit to elude that of the tornado. Well, they missed the tornado, but lightning struck their pit. Preacher, explain that. I ain't going to explain it. I can't explain it. I can just tell you that evidently it was their time, because the pit didn't help them. Tornado didn't get them, but lightning did. It doesn't matter what our situations is. The truth of it is, the real truth of it is, my friend, you don't know personally what's going on, even in your own life, because you ignore, I'm going to say I ignore, we ignore so many signs about what things is going on that sometimes we push the envelope, so to speak. You know that? I had a driver that he is 45 year old. Good driver, good employee. Come down and sat in my office and looked at me and he said, I've got the awfulest, awfulest indigestion that I've ever had. And I told him, I said, Ricky, I said, it might not be indigestion. You might ought to have it looked at. 2 days. Next day he worked. Come in to work the next day. Fell dead. I'm talking about dead. Didn't have no nothing. From the time I got out of my office down to the foot of that is nothing. Zero. He had more than indigestion. Do you know that? But us men, we can get over a few things, can't we? We can get over a few things. I had a heart attack in 2014. I preached that night. We had conference. I was behind the pulpit there, and as we started with the first thing in conference, brother, my world was going away. Couldn't get no breath. Felt like somebody had behind me with a knife just stabbing me. I went through conference, went to the back of the church. I sat down. Only time I've ever done that, I sat down. I told him, I said, I don't know. I worked all day and I didn't eat no lunch and I don't normally eat much. And everything in this world went through my mind. We had Kathy fix some lasagna, and I love lasagna. And I don't eat much before I preach, but brother, that night I did. And I told her, and I come in, and I didn't say a whole lot, but she could tell that something was going, what's going on. And I went and I eat about 4, 5, 6, 7 tums, just as much as I could eat. And I was walking. I wasn't sitting down. I was walking. There was something that stabbing was still just stabbing me in the back. Listen, I know I'm talking about me, but a lot of times we think we can just get over things. Truth of it is, it's probably something else that's going on. Something else was in my case. I sat down, and I told we had a blood pressure monitor, and I got a hold of that thing, and it was 200 and something over 170 something. And I didn't say a word. She said, we going. We went to Redmond, and they had a tragic accident over there, and it involved, I bet there's 50 or 60 people in that mercy room. I walked in there and I told that man what. I said, I've got shortness of breath and I got a stabbing in my back that won't go away. And I said, I feel awful. You know what he done? He wrote it down. He wrote it down. We sat there long enough. Both our daughters had come in, sat right down next to us. And it was about 10:45. I remember the time very well. About 10:45, I looked at all of them. I said, I'm going home. I've sat here long enough. And about 10:50, here they come. Come, call me in, went in there. And the nurse got to talking to me, and she said, you been out there how long? We sat out there about an hour and a half. She said, I'll be right back. I was on the EKG. And I told her, I said, my EKG won't come up good. I said, I've never had a good one. I got a heart murmur. I had a heart murmur all my life. I said, it won't show good. And it didn't. But see, the more she got talking to me, she said, you've had a heart attack. They went, and of course, done the blood test and everything. The blood test come back and told you. It told you. Got in there, the doctor. They run up in there to look around. He said, you widowmaker, it's 99% blocked. Exactly what he said. He said, you're fortunate. I said, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Yes, sir. I'm blessed. You don't thank the Lord and take care of us. You don't thank the Lord give a doctor knowledge enough. to take care of us. They're here for a purpose. They're here for a reason. I've been in the hospital 3 times in my life, and every time it was Sunday. This was Saturday night, but the time I got back in there is Sunday morning. Been on Sunday. I preach a good bit about people working on Sunday. But it's been on Sunday. You know what? I thank God there's there. I thank God there's there. Yes, sir. I don't know why I said all that, told you all that. But the Lord's been good. Sometimes that little bit of ailment is just not a little bit of ailment. Just conference time.